Amen. I've got four guys that are going to give 3x5 cards to everybody. So, fellas, if you'll fan out and go ahead and do that as I get started this evening. Don't doodle on them. Don't draw on them just yet. I'd like for everybody to take one, even if you don't participate in something that I hope we will tonight. I'd like for you to still take it. No notes, no overheads, just a family meeting tonight. Certainly, it, as Zach said, I think it was certainly a good morning. I enjoy every Sunday morning, but I agree there seem to be seasons where we either our own personal interest is more vested. This morning would have been an obvious reason for that. And do you need more? Oh, Drew is saying, Dad, I need more. Dad, I need more.
Good.
You're good. You got a lot on your side, Drew. You lucked out. These guys didn't know the guy that hands out the most gets an ice cream. I rigged it against you guys. Liam, sorry. I'm kidding. If you run out again, are you running out again, buddy? I try to plan stuff. And tonight, I will tell you, for 2 weeks I've known I'm preaching tonight, there was no message that really felt like needed to be preached. You running out, buddy? Okay, you're good. He's got thumbs up. All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 3. And so it's not that I ran out of things to preach. The Bible is full of great things to preach. As a pastor, there was just nothing that was being burdened or pressed upon my heart other than I'm grateful for who you are. I'm grateful for the church that we are and are becoming. It is of the Lord's goodness that he is constructing a body that is healthy and whole here in Central Kentucky. And heaven knows how many churches there are in Central Kentucky. And so it is dilution by pollution. There's too many. And so sometimes the voice of the righteous gets choked out. And so I am glad and grateful for your participation in the work of the Lord. And so we're going to do a little bit of that this evening. So hang on to that card and we'll make some notes or marks on it. I'll have you do that. I've got some microphones here. It will involve some testimonies in just a little bit. So be thinking. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3, and in verse number 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, this is Paul speaking about his traveling party and companionship in the ministry that they were engaged in. Verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Well, what afflictions? The answer is the afflictions that Paul himself was suffering, and likely the afflictions that the church was suffering. I wrote in the margin of my Bible under verse 3, problems will come. As sure as the sun rises in the east, you will face troublesome times in your life at some point. He goes on to say, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, or truly, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Isn't that a great verse? That is a pastor's verse, if I've ever heard one. For now we live, since you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Father, help us this evening as we take some time as a family. We spend time talking and testifying of the salvation that we have received. I thank you for the time that we can gather in the body that is whole. Bless us to ever increase and be strengthened. May we be settled and established and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Paul, as we read here, thought fondly of the church at Thessalonica. Of course, he thought fondly of all the churches that he pastored. The believers, as we read here, were his joy, just as they are the joy of Jesus, all who will trust in Jesus Christ. I can tell you that's how I feel as the pastor at Bluegrass Baptist Church. You bring Jessica and I great joy. A couple of years ago, a friend sent me this video. Joe, I think we have it. And he said, "This is what I feel like as a pastor. The sheep is stuck in the ditch. The shepherd boy gets it out. And it goes right back in the ditch." Now, I sent one to Zach and to Edward yesterday. I won't show that one. It was a little more brutal. A lot of pastors I know feel like this shepherd boy. Pull and tug and fight and strain, only to see the sheep go back into harm's way. I can say gladly that I am not counted among those men. Not because as a church we are perfect, but because as a body, our church family leans upon our faith, and individually, you are trying to grow spiritually as you walk with God. We are growing spiritually. We are growing numerically. Anyone that's not named Ron Fannin, can you guess how many people, or unless he told you, how many people were at church this morning on Easter Sunday morning? What was the number? Which service? That's a great question, Debbie. Total between the two, 341 people, he tells me. Now, he keeps telling me he's getting worse and worse in his vision, so I don't know if it was actually 341, but I think it still is. We're continuing to grow physically. That is not due to a pastor. It is due to a people that are serious about God, that are serious about their faith. And so I say thank you for all the work of faith that you do to expand the reach and the impact of your church. So what I'd like to do tonight, and what Paul does in this particular passage, is he tells the Thessalonians they are his joy. They are his rejoicing. He's comforted in his afflictions. And I can tell you, between just routine pastoring work, as Paul calls it, the care of the ministry, and our family struggles that we are presently going through, and the building of a new church building, I can attest with Paul that sometimes it feels like every part of a house may be pressing in on you. But the joy that Jessica and I derive is knowing what God does in your lives. That's our rejoicing. On this Resurrection Sunday, I would like to hear how you came to know Christ as your Savior. That is my joy, after all. Tonight, I'd like to hear your testimonies. I don't want you to have to think up some fancy way to give a testimony. Sometimes that's what we struggle and stammer over. The man that I'm thinking of, so that you all are aware, is not in this church, and he's no longer on this earth. He's in heaven. He was a good man. But there used to be a man at the church I grew up in. Anytime pastor opened it for testimonies, he was right there. And 25 minutes later, they had to rip the microphone out of his hand. But he loved the Lord, and he just gave testimony. What I'd like for us to do, this is what I gave you a 3x5 card tonight. I'd like for you to actually write on your note card this evening, first, your name. Go ahead and do that. There's a pen in front of you. I've prepared you. There should be a card. Drew, did you literally run out of cards for yourself, bud? And you didn't either? Okay, here, hold on. These teenage boys. Write your name on the card. Give him one, too. Thank you. Below writing your name on the card, I want you to write the approximate date of your salvation. If you don't know the date, that's fine. If you know the date, great. Maybe just put your age. Jessica and I, for years, when we first got married, she could not remember the exact day she got saved. Well, I can tell exactly the day I got saved. That doesn't make me a better Christian than her. It doesn't make her not saved and me saved. Some people don't remember the day they got saved, but they remember the decision that led them to faith in Jesus Christ. So write about your approximate age. I want you to write then after that, what compelled you to trust Christ? I'm going to give my testimony for an example in just a moment. But what was the drive? What compelled you to put your faith and trust in Christ? Next on the 3x5 card, I want you to write where you lived when you got saved. Where you lived when you got saved. Mine, I lived in Fairfax, Virginia. Finally, on the card, I want you to write, if you remember the person who shared Christ with you. That's it. Tonight, I don't want to hear from one or two. I don't want to hear from just little Johnnies and Susies, though I love hearing from little Johnnies and Susies about how they trusted in Jesus. They are certainly permitted to give their testimonies, for Jesus himself said, "Bid the little children come unto me, and if I offend them, I will have a millstone tied around my neck and cast into the river." I don't want either of those. I don't want to forbid them. But I'd like to hear some adults. You don't need to wax eloquent this evening. What I just want to hear is your faith, your testimony. As you write these things down on your card, and some of you I see are still dutifully writing, praise the Lord. Paul, writing this letter to the Thessalonians, he did the same to other churches, says to them, "Your testimony encourages me." It's like David saying to his mighty men, there's a well that I really would like a drink from. And they hazard their own health to go get that drink and brought it back to David. And tonight, I'm not taking anything from what you say except for what David did. I'm going to receive your words and we're just going to pour them out before the Lord, because your testimony is holy and sanctified information for other ears to hear, but to the heart of God and to the heart of your pastor, it's rejoicing. There are many times as a pastor when I need encouragement. I am glad for your temporal success. I'd ask for you not to give that as a testimony tonight. I'm glad for miracles and the might that God demonstrates in each and every one of our lives. But again, this evening, what I'm asking for tonight is very specific. I just want to hear how you came to know Christ as your Savior. I think it will be extraordinarily powerful for us on a Resurrection Sunday to hear person after person say, "I asked Jesus to save me." That is music in the ears of the Almighty. I did not answer the call to be a pastor for notoriety or fame or to build a big church. I just wanted people to meet Jesus. Many of you knew Christ before coming to Bluegrass. And through the years, Jessica and I in hospitality have had you to our homes. In the recent months and weeks, we haven't been able to. In fact, we're probably, for health reasons, not allowed to have a lot of people into our house in this season of life. And so you know what we've missed hearing? how people came to know Christ as their Savior. That's the heart of our hospitality. You think it's because we like just getting to know you. We like to hear that you love the same Jesus we love. That's important. It also moves me to know that many of you have deepened your walk here with God while at Bluegrass. The most thrilling parts of Christian ministry are the joys of living faith, exercising trust in God through salvation and from that point of salvation. Some of you have trusted Christ. There's no greater joy to me in ministry than to know that God used this church to change your eternal destiny. It's exactly what Paul was saying to them in particular in 1 Thessalonians 3. As we go through the time, I would like, as I said, dozens. We'll have 10 at a time, and then we'll have Zach play some songs and we'll sing together. And then when we're done singing, we'll go back to some testimonies. It will be fun. It will be joyful. I'm excited. I've never done this in 16 and a half years. So I'll go first. My name is Kyle Fannin. I trusted Christ May 4th, 1989. In our church, we had a revival speaker come in. In fact, it was Brother Tom Farrell. He preached on hell, and late one evening, I couldn't sleep. Woke my mom, and she woke my dad, and they talked to me late in the evening about trusting Jesus Christ and how I could go to heaven. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. They showed me exactly how to trust God and to accept Christ as my Savior from the Bible. I have not lived sinlessly since that day, but I am very thankful for that May 4th, 1989. So gentlemen, come get your microphones. I've got teenage boys helping me, so there may be some technical difficulties. There should be a microphone here. If you hit the red button, is it on, Graham? Does it look like batteries? Do you see a battery? Push the red button until it comes on. Drew knows how to help you. You got it, Liam? Who would like to go first? Raise your hand. We'll have one of these goobers, come and share a microphone with you. Who would like to go first? Brother Mike, go ahead. And we need lots. Tonight is not Shy Guy Night. Tonight is Speak Up.
I got saved on January 21st, 1980, after several years of watching God change my wife's life. She'd gotten saved earlier. Her pastor came to our house on a Monday night and shared the gospel with me, and I trusted Christ that night. I would say her testimony opened my heart to even listen to somebody share the gospel with me. So Bud Winiger from Calvary Baptist Church in Normal, Illinois, led me to Christ.
Amen. Who's next? Keep raising your hands until your hand goes down. Back there, Graham. Back there in the back. Right here, Liam. Go ahead. Any you guys that have microphones, Graham, keep going right back there, bud. All right. Just wave at him. Keep your hands up. There's plenty more. Go ahead if you've got one, Pam.
My name is Pam Lindner. I was saved May 25th, 1995. I grew up Catholic, and I always believed in God and believed in Jesus and everything he did. But until I was 17, I never understood why he did those things. Once it was made clear to me what he did and what I couldn't do for myself, I gladly accepted his Amen. Gift of salvation.
Amen. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Gretchen. I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, and I got saved on June 10th, 2014 at a teen camp. And it was the first time we were, like, under a tent and not in air conditioning or anything like that. That didn't have anything to do with it, but probably. And the pastor that night, he was from North Carolina, and he preached on drowning within the reach of the master. Mm. And it was to a week one teen camp, so it was, like, all the church kids who didn't go to public school or anything like that. And he preached at us, and he was like, you guys have been in church your entire life.
Yes.
Don't drown within the reach of the master.
Yes.
And I was like, well, you know, yeah. Like, I had made professions of faith before, of course, but then that night I was like, well, I'm going to get it settled because I'm not drowning within the reach
Amen.
Of the master. So I went out with my counselor, and I was like, I know every verse. I could lead you to the Lord right now. And I was like, but I know, and I need a witness to know that I'm asking Christ to
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, others. Keith, right here. Keep your hands up if you want one. You need more.
I didn't realize how similar my testimony was to Pam's, but I grew up in a Catholic home as well, and so was very familiar with church language, Bible language. But at age 14, I was at a hungry point in my life, challenging some of the doctrine that was being taught, not because I knew differently, but I was just questioning. Yeah. John 14:6, Jesus made it clear, right? Yeah. He is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And my heart was so touched that it was through Jesus alone, not through a lot of the other stuff. And so, praise God, that's my salvation story, trusting Jesus just by way, because my father had given us as kids Bibles. Went through a phase where we wanted to, was exploring some other churches, gave us a Bible. So, praise the Lord, I was able to read that in the Scripture. So,
amen.
There you go.
All right. Who else? Brother Stephen? Anybody on this side? We can cue them up. All right, Eric, go ahead. Back here, Graham. Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Stephen Jeffries. I was 6 or 7 years old, and I was with my mom and realized I was lost and a sinner. And she helped me pray and ask Jesus into my heart.
Amen.
And Jesus came into my heart and was saved at that time and was baptized in Lexington at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church and been praising God.
Praise the Lord. Eric, go ahead, and then Whisper's right next to you. She can go right after you.
My name is Eric Johnson. I was saved about 11 o'clock, July 4th, 2008. I remember looking at the fireworks thinking, man, if one of them came down and hit me, I'd go straight to hell. And the reason why I knew that, I grew up in church, and I had gotten to a point in my life, I was the oldest of six. My parents trusted me. I could lie about just about anything, not feel any conviction about it. And so I knew I had to make the decision to get saved. That was in Farmington, Minnesota, and my parents were the ones that sat down, kind of the same thing as Gretchen. I had led other people to the Lord. I knew all the verses, but sat there with my parents, went through the same thing we would do for the bus route we were on at the time, and got saved.
Amen. Whisper?
Hi, my name is Whisper Johnson. I was probably around six. I don't remember the exact date. I was really young, but back at Northside Baptist Church in Killeen, Texas, my pastor preached a message on heaven and hell and the need for salvation. And I remember thinking to myself, I just lied to my parents about cleaning my room. I stuffed some stuff underneath the dresser. I'm totally going to hell, you know.
Yeah.
As a little kid, you can even feel the conviction of sin, you know. And so I went home that night and asked my parents a million questions. I remember it being super late at night. And then me finally just going, okay, it's from the Bible. I know it's true. Let me go ahead and get this settled. And
Amen.
That was it.
Amen. Todd, go ahead.
Todd Johnson. It was September 16th, 2002, in Hanover, Hampton Inn. And my family wasn't with me yet. We were moving out there, and I'd been going to a church in Maryland, right across the border. And this—I don't remember what the guy preached. He preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, but I remember he kept asking, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?"
Yes.
And I had been witness to in 1981. I remember Turtle Creek Campgrounds in Chopier, Wisconsin, and I was probably 13. And then I went in the Air Force, and I went to Japan. And Ralph Cooter, I still remember his name, and the other guy that was in charge of the barracks we were in, and they both.
You got some Holy Spirit power there.
And they both strong-armed me.
Yeah.
And started witnessing to me, and I had been to Awana's when I was a kid, and all the verses they were witnessing to me with, I had memorized. And I did a 1-2-3 pray after me to get them off my back, and I started going to church off base in Japan at an independent Baptist church, and I was in an independent Baptist church for 18 years, married, had that booger right there and three others. After I heard that sermon in 2002, I kept fighting it, and finally, two nights later, I dropped to my knees in the hotel room and really repented and trusted Christ.
Amen. Amen. Joe's got one. Drew, go to the back. Oh, you got one. Go ahead.
I was raised in a Christian home, and what you call a drug child, drug to church, drug to school, drug everywhere, wherever my mom took me. And so in third and fourth grade junior church, I was in Brother Brian Schnepp's class, and we sang songs, and he preached on heaven and hell. And I remember sitting there as an eight-year-old boy, and I've heard the gospel, but then sitting there, literally felt I was going to fall off my chair and fall into hell. And I was so terrified that my sin caused me to go to a place like that. And he then began to preach on the gospel and just the love of God. And I remember sitting there just thinking how amazing that God who made me wanted to save me from that place yes. called hell. And at the end of the lesson, I raised my hand, and he led me back to the classroom and showed me how to Amen. Get saved. And I was saved at 8 years old.
Amen. Amen. All right, others. We'll take one more, and then, Zach, you can go ahead and move to the piano, and we'll sing a song. The rest of you aren't getting out of it tonight. These are wonderful.
Mine's similar to Mike. I was in the service and came home, had been home just a few months. My wife worked as a payroll clerk, and a friend of hers that she worked with in the office invited her to church. My wife had grown up in church, and she invited her to church, unbeknownst to me. And she said, I had to go somewhere tonight. So she went, and she came back. Back in the 70s, her mascara was dripping down her face. Her hair was messed up. And she said, you've been to church? But she had a true salvation experience Amen. In this little church that we ended up going to. It had such an impact on me that I've got to check this out. And the way that people welcomed me in, it just would just naturally fail. I had a lot of baggage coming out of the combat military experience, had a lot of baggage. And when I saw the change in her, I knew it was real.
Yeah.
And that's how I got saved, just by how she was a witness to me Amen. In just a short period of time.
Amen. All right. Well, you can stay seated. We will sing, fellas. You can sit down for just a break. I know your legs are tired. We'll sing, Jesus Paid It All. How many verses did I put in there, Joe? Three verses. We'll figure them out as we go, Zach. Three stanzas. Let's sing together. Let me say this as we go to another round. Kids, if you want to give one, you can. Some of the greatest testimonies are from kids that say, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I know it. Adults, you can give one in this round as well. So, fellas, let's see those hands. Whoever's got a hand up. All right, Jason's got one. Jason's got one. Go ahead, Drew, going back to Mr. Jason. There you go. Jace. Don't talk like your dad. Talk like your mom now.
I was 6 years old when I was saved, and I don't remember the exact night, but I think it was Wednesday night. And I just got scared because I knew if I died, I would go to hell.
Yeah.
So, me and my dad, I got on my knees, and I prayed to God, and I just trusted as Him and my Savior.
Amen. How old are you right now, Jace?
Eight.
Eight. Ooh, 2 years ago. So long ago. Wonderful testimony. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was probably, I don't know the date. I can take you to the place, Connersville, Indiana, Connersville Baptist Temple. And I can take you to the room in that church where I grew up. I grew up in a Christian home. And my dad possibly was teaching junior church, but I was in a kids' service, kids' church service, and I just remember I'd heard every, you know, I'd heard the gospel, knew all the Bible stories, and might have, when I was 4 or 5, might have maybe wanted to get saved back then or talk to my parents, but it was just on my own as an 8-year-old boy in junior church, and I just called upon the Lord.
Amen.
And I will, I guess not to be negative, but I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I was a shy kid, and I think that hurt me spiritually. I didn't get baptized until I was a teenager, after church camp. I was like 16. So if anybody's here and if you're saved, you've called upon the name of the Lord, you've called on Jesus, tell somebody about it. Yeah. Tell your family about it.
That's right.
And if you haven't been baptized, you know, representing your salvation, that step of obedience, I think it hurt me as a young Christian in my faith. And I think that was something we all have regrets. That's a big one for me, is I didn't really tell anybody, and I didn't get baptized until 7-8 years later. But, that's my testimony.
Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Go ahead over here. Is it you, Maddie? Uh-oh, you've muted yourself.
So I was like 6 years old in first grade. So I was very scared at school because I thought I would go to hell because what I've been doing. So like I got on my knees and like prayed to God that please save me.
Amen.
Then I got saved.
Amen. Did He save you?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? That's wonderful.
Yeah,
praise
I'm not
the Lord.
Scared more that
praise
I will
the Lord.
Go tell.
That's wonderful. That's a good testimony. All right, Hunter, go ahead.
So I have grown up in church. My dad was a pastor for a while, and I've just always been around it. And I was at church camp, and pastor was Calvin Allen was preaching. But I've just heard a lot of sermons beforehand of just, if you're saved, you need to make sure. You need to make sure. And that's the only thing that would stick out to me for a long time. And I was like, I know something's missing. And I heard, and I remembered I have a bunch of verses in memory, just comes to my mind. Yeah. But one that was continuing to come was God talking to Saul before he became Paul. You can't kick, paraphrasing, probably, can't kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And God was like, hey, you need to settle this.
Yes.
And then it was at church camp, July 8th, 2020. I was 14.
Amen. You're so young. Good for you. Praise the Lord. All right, some others. Some of you adults out here. Guys, oh, go ahead, Cassie. Go ahead.
I was 7 when I got saved. It was March 29th of 2012. We were at a revival at my home church at that point, New Hope General Baptist Church. In Silva, Missouri, the preacher was Doyle Williamson.
Amen.
And I can, like, vividly remember him describing Jesus being put on the cross and everything that he put, or everything that he went through.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, vivid details.
Yeah.
And it really put in my head, like, he went through all of that just for you.
That's good.
And that's when I went up to the altar, and that's when I got saved.
Amen. Wonderful testimony. Brian, you had one right in front.
Thanks, sir. I was raised in church, Baptist church, here in Lexington. My mom made sure that us three boys went. And then she was 5'2", and I got to be about 6'3". I don't know. She couldn't fight with me anymore to go, but I'm glad of that seed that was planted. Yes. In 92, I believe it was, Shannon kept getting invited to a revival to a church in Lexington. And she finally said, hey, there's a revival service going on. And really, to be honest with you, to sort of make her be quiet, Shannon's like, okay, we'll go. And we went, and just as a good evangelist preacher does, preach the good gospel message on a Sunday morning. And I got to give this part. It's pretty neat. There were a lot of people there, and I was very embarrassed. And I wanted to go up front. And I said, no, we'll come back to the evening service. Generally not as many people at an evening service. And right when I was thinking that, the man said, and if you think that you have a later, you could be very sorry for that thinking. And it was like the Lord put his finger on my heart at that moment. And I went to the altar, got saved at the altar. I don't know the fella's name. I could probably pick him out of a lineup that met me there. He may be gone. Yeah. We did not continue going there, but we did go somewhere else. And I got saved that day. Amen. Shannon was right along with me.
Amen.
And just a wonderful day. If I don't see the guy this side of heaven, we got a lot of rejoicing to do when we get on the other side.
Absolutely. The whole time you're giving your testimony, Shannon's over there smiling ear to ear. That's a blessing. All right, any other testimony? All right, Becca's got one in the back. Liam, can you take that one? We'll take one more, and then we'll sing one more song.
I was raised in a Christian home. My parents worked at a church. I went to Sunday school every week. I was 4 years old, about to turn five, and I just had a lot of questions because I had heard all the Bible stories in Sunday school, and I learned them at home, had a lot of questions about salvation, and I was constantly asking my mom about it. And so my dad at the time was helping out working at a camp, and so we drove all the way, like an hour, to get there just so that they could talk to me together to make sure I understood everything. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. When I was around 11, I had a lot of anxieties and fears just about, what if I didn't say the right words? What if I didn't remember everything? Did I really mean it when I was younger? And so just by myself at home, I was around 11. I don't know the date, but I know for sure I got it settled, around 11 years old at my house.
Amen. So. By show of hands, how many grew up in a Christian home and were saved under the age of, let's say, 15? Raise your hand. Real high. That's a lot. It's Sunday night crowd. You put your hands down. How many were saved after the age of 25? After the age, raise your hand real high. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In a church, I would wonder on Sunday morning, boys, you fellas, you can sit for a second, so we'll go sing. I would wonder in a Sunday morning what the raise of hands would be like, right? I would never do it then because it would be embarrassing if there's someone there that doesn't know Christ or someone doesn't know at all what we believe. I would not want to put them on the spot like that. It wouldn't be appropriate. But in an evening service where it's mostly the family, that is good. It's telling. I tell you what it tells me is too much is given, much shall be required, right? If we were saved at a young age and grew up in church, that means there's a lot of people that aren't like us, and we need to go out and find those individuals. The next song we'll sing, in fact, we'll make it the last song we sing. I wanted to sing so desperately, Oh Happy Day. I have not sung Oh Happy Day in a long time. Anybody remember the song Oh Happy Day? Well, maybe we'll sing it at the end. I don't know. Let's see, this is what happens when I don't plan a service. Sometimes you guys ask if I ever get up here and wing it, and the answer is no. And tonight I'm not. I still have two pages of notes, but this is what it would look like. Let's sing I Know a Fount. Let's do that one, all right? This is just a chorus. It's a simple one. Hey, that's the first time you've ever sung that old chorus. Really? Really? And this was the whole thing was set up to show Zach there are some good... No, I'm kidding. It's a good old hymn. It's just a little chorus there. All right. Any final testimonies tonight before we go to communion? All right, Brother Edward, Liam, if you'll take that one. Raise your hand if you want it. All right. Drew, go get Papa back there in the back. Anybody else over here? Jason's want one. Graham, you're going to take it to your dad. Go ahead, Edward.
Well, I wasn't raised by Christian parents, and I didn't grow up in church. As a little boy, I was sent off to a boarding school, and there I did go to church because I was forced to go for the next 10 years in school. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and by the time I graduated, I was convinced that there is no God. Because every church I ever went to was deader than a doornail. The people didn't believe what the preacher said. The preacher didn't believe what he said. And so I started life as an atheist, as an adult. And was confirmed in my atheism until one day, and I wasn't particularly looking to get saved, but one day a Jewish man came to my door and witnessed to me about Jesus. And I told him he was insane. I couldn't understand why he'd left one mythical belief, Judaism, for another mythical belief, Christianity. I literally, physically threw him out of my house. But when he had left, I realized I had a problem because he was... the first man I'd ever met, the first person I'd ever met. I was then 23 years old. First time I met someone to whom Jesus was real.
Yes, yes.
And I could tell it by the way he looked, the way he spoke, the conviction in his voice. And for the next week, I was in a state of torment and confusion, knowing that I had a decision to make. Either God didn't exist or he did. And finally, at the end of the week, I just sat down and said, God, if you are real, I want to surrender to you.
Yes.
And in that moment, I knew
Amen.
He was real.
Amen. Wonderful. Dad, go ahead. You're good.
Oh, okay. 1957 in Ohio, I went forward in the Church of Christ.
Put the microphone up to your mouth, Dad.
I went forward in the Church of Christ. Now, they didn't explain anything to me. But my two other friends of mine, 12 years old, they all said, let's go get saved. So we all went down, we got saved, we thought, and baptized. And I went on until 1972, thinking that I was saved. In 1972, Pat and I were at a little Baptist church in Chillicothe, Ohio. And there was an old pastor there from Cedarville College who came over, Pastor Emerson Russell. I got very close to him. And he said, Ron, I want you to go on visitation with me tonight. He said, one of the boys on your flag football team, his dad, isn't saved. And he said if we could come out and visit with him. So we went out and visited with him. And to my surprise, Pastor Russell looked at me and said, Ron, give him your testimony. Hmm. I couldn't do it. And so after that, I went back and I explained to him. And a couple of good fellows in the church are good friends of mine, D. Mays and Dean Gamble, they all worked with me, and we took care of the situation.
Amen.
Right then, and that was what happened.
My mom and dad, both of the homes that they grew up in, mom grew up in church her whole life, and dad grew up at church his whole life. But of all of the kids on either side of the family, they're the only two where Jesus has been real to them. It doesn't mean that the others aren't saved. They are. But my sister and I, we had lunch together, obviously, today. We are the product of who we are because of the parents that we had that taught us right from wrong. And those that grew up in a Christian home, be thankful for that. Even for us knuckleheads that sometimes walk far away from their teaching, I'm glad for the men that led my dad to a true knowledge of Christ. Jason, go ahead, and you'll be the last one this evening.
Well, it wasn't 1957, Ron. Honestly, didn't know the calendar went back that far. But I was like a lot of people, I guess. I saw their raises of hands. I was really young. I was 6 years old when I got saved. And just like a lot of people, I did it out of fear.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go to hell. And so I think I gave my testimony a few weeks ago, but I always, whenever there's an opportunity to give your testimony, I think as a good Christian, that's the least I can do for God, yes, to stand up and talk about what he did for me.
Yes.
And good. So he saved me then.
Amen.
I'm still saved today, and I'll be saved when I die.
Amen. Fellas, you can be seated. I'll just need one microphone for just a moment for the communion. Before, as we go to the Lord in communion tonight, let me encourage you, take those cards that you've written down, put them in the fly leaf of your Bible. When you go to a time of prayer, you have a time of reflection. It is easy for us in the hustle and bustle of life to forget. Not forget that we're saved, but forget the value of what that salvation means. When I think back to May 4th, 1989, my mom's birthday is the 5th. I think the greatest joy in her heart was the day before her birthday, I got saved. When I think on my own life, I think of the times in which I've wandered far from God. I think of the times in which there's been great strain and great stress and wondering if all of this is worth it. You say, right now? Not right now. But there have been times in my life where all of us go through a deep valley and a trial. It is going back to that moment of salvation, not because you have the warm and fuzzies and the spark, but because there's an assurance. There's a rock to anchor to. There's a cleft to hide in. There is joy to be drawn from that well. What Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and what I've tried to do tonight, is to encourage you to remember you are the best witness and testimony because of your witness and your testimony. When you're at work, you don't need pastor to come in and get that person to the finish line of trusting Jesus. You just need to share what happened to you. The family member that is intractable, the family member that you just can't get along with and you know they'll never get saved. If you just continue to live a consistent Christian life and share your faith, the simple faith. There wasn't a single person tonight that struggled to say, I asked Jesus to save me. There is no other religion or faith that has the simplicity of ours. You want to know why? Because ours is true. It's simple. If we're going to change the world, it's going to start with you sharing your faith. But it also comes to a time of communion. What do we celebrate? The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. These are the symbols that we take, the elements that we partake of this evening. When you partake of those, understand that broken body was for that moment of testimony you just gave. That shed blood was the payment for your sins, past, present, and as I like to say in good alliteration, potential in the future. I hope you don't sin a lot in the future, but we're all sinners. That salvation is sufficient for the past, for the present, and anything that will happen or come in the future. Let's bow our head in preparation for the communion table tonight. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness, for the provisions that you give to us. Lord, tonight we've been reminded through the graciousness and the kindness of these your people of the kind of God you are. You will save kids that grow up in Christian homes. You will save individuals who were from dead religions, false teaching. You will save people from atheist and even agnostic, worldly, carnal lifestyles. You save all who come by faith to you. On this Resurrection Sunday, we give all glory to Jesus. We honor and lift up his matchless name. Lord, as we now partake, may we do so with the truth literally written on a paper in front of us. We are believers in Christ. We believe that His body was broken for us. We believe His blood was shed, poured out on Calvary for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.